Welcome to our podcast on disability discrimination and mental health. Organisations have obligations and duties in respect of people who are protected as being disabled, and also those with mental health issues. Increasingly, these are becoming a significant issue for organisations. Poor mental health is a major issue facing both society and employers. Up to one in four employees are likely to experience an episode of poor mental health, and this is an area of increasing importance. In this podcast, we'll look at the main legal obligations for employers when dealing with an employee who is or may be classed as disabled and those with mental ill health in the workplace. I'm Siobhan Bishop, and I'd like to introduce Vivian Reeve, who is an associate in the Employment and Equalities team. Vivian, it's helpful to set out the issues in the context of the legal framework. So can you briefly run through the main legal structures employers need to consider?
Yes, the first one, it arises from the Equality Act 2010. So if we first consider what is a disability, it's explained in the Act as a mental or physical impairment which has a long-term, substantial and adverse effect on an individual's ability to carry out day-to-day activities. So breaking that down a little bit, mental or physical impairment, the important thing to remember here is it's the effect, not the cause, that matters. Long-term means that an individual has suffered from it for at least 12 months, or is likely to suffer for it for more than 12 months, or that it's likely to recur. Substantial and adverse effect means basically that it's just more than minor, it's quite a low hurdle. So you look at how long or how somebody does their day-to-day activities. And day-to-day activities means just that, there's nothing specialist about it. It's getting up, getting to work, eating, going to the supermarket, doing your food shop, the daily things that we do. It's worth remembering that past disabilities are covered. So if somebody suffered from depression a number of years ago, which had a substantial and long-term adverse effect on their ability to carry out their day-to-day activities, they would still be protected under the Act if they were discriminated against now because of something they had suffered from before. But the best approach is not to worry too much about whether somebody fits precisely within that legal test, but to assume that they are disabled. And if you take that approach, then you will be addressing your duties and you're less likely to be in breach of them. What do you need to consider to avoid a breach of the Equality Act? Who does the Equality Act apply to? It applies to the whole employment cycle. So starting at the beginning, it applies to job applicants, it applies to employees and workers, and it applies to company leavers as well. Whilst in employment, it means not discriminating against somebody because of the terms and conditions you offer or continue to employ them on, the ways in which they are afforded access to opportunities for promotion, training, transfer, any other benefits, and in not subjecting them to a detriment. So what form could discrimination take? Well, disability discrimination is slightly more detailed than other forms of discrimination, and there are six main types or strands of discrimination that we need to be alive to. I think the two most relevant to mental health are probably discrimination arising from a disability and the duty to make reasonable adjustments. So discrimination arising from a disability is where a person discriminates against their employee, a disabled person, if they treat them unfavourably because of something arising in consequence of their disability and they can't objectively justify that. So it's not that they're treated unfavourably because they're disabled, but because of something arising out of that disability. So for example, relocating an employee, which would mean they may have to come out of a well-established routine which helped them manage their fatigue or anxiety. If they have to leave home earlier and deal with rush hour traffic and leave work later, for example. The next relevant strand of discrimination, which is probably the thing that comes up most in practice, the duty to make reasonable adjustments applies if an employer knows or could reasonably be expected to know that an employee would be put at a substantial disadvantage or could reasonably be expected to know that that might happen if there is a working provision, criteria or practice, so a working practice, a policy of the organisation that puts that individual at a substantial disadvantage compared to non-disabled people, or there is a physical feature of the working environment that has that same effect. And if either of those two situations arises, then the employer is under a duty to remove that disadvantage so far as it's reasonably practicable to do. So, for example, it may be in making allowance for disability-related absence in a redundancy selection exercise. It may be in accepting a flexible working request to work from home a certain amount or to change working hours.
That's a really important point to make, to draw a distinction between direct and indirect discrimination. What are the key differences?
Direct discrimination, I think, is probably quite well known. It's where an individual is treated less favourably because of their disability. I think we see less of that in practice because it's a more stark example. It's more common that we see issues arising from disabilities or reasonable adjustments. Indirect discrimination is where an employer imposes a provision, criteria or practice, or a working practice or policy, which applies to a group of people, but puts or would put somebody who shares the same disability as an individual who's disabled at a particular disadvantage when compared to those who don't share it. So, for example, a requirement to work a minimum daily hours or to work at certain times of day.
Another aspect of discrimination is that there may be harassment of the individual, and this can come up in mental ill health context as well. What do we mean by harassment?
This is where an individual is harassed if they are subjected to unwanted conduct related to their disability, which has the purpose or the effect of either violating their dignity or creating an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating or offensive environment for that person. Sometimes people suggest that individuals are hypersensitive and they're just overreacting. It is primarily the individual who has suffered the harassment whose perception is important, but the other circumstances of the case and whether it's reasonable for that conduct to have that effect is also taken into account.
And the last area that might be raised is victimisation. Now, this has quite a specific meaning, so when might victimisation occur?
It occurs where an individual is subjected to a detriment because either they've done a protected act or the person subjecting them to that detriment thinks they have done or thinks they might do a protected act. A protected act means bringing proceedings under the Equality Act, giving evidence or information in connection with proceedings, whether they brought the complaint in the first place or not, or doing something else for the purposes of or in connection with the Equality Act.
So thanks very much for the overview of the issues when considering disability discrimination. Of course, as Vivian mentioned, a disability can cover a mental impairment as well as a physical impairment, and mental ill health in the workplace is one of the very topical and more challenging aspects in this area. When looking at both physical and mental health in the workplace, what are the other legal duties which are relevant?
The other piece of legislation which is relevant is the Health and Safety at Work Act 1974. Section 2 states that it is the duty of every employer to ensure, so far as is reasonably practicable, the health, safety and welfare at work of all its employees. So what is reasonable will depend on the circumstances, and to find out what's reasonable, it means investigating things that should make you wonder, particular risk areas, and then working forwards to try and remove that risk of harm.
Many thanks, Vivian, and I hope you've enjoyed that podcast. We have also produced a separate podcast looking more at the practical issues of dealing with mental health in the workplace. In that podcast, we are joined by Dr. Mike Drayton, a consultant psychologist, to explore this important topic. We look at the challenges faced by organisations in dealing with mental health issues. We discuss some of the practical ways of identifying and improving management of mental health issues and cover how to review the situation and reduce the distress and improve relations and performance. There is a link to that mental health podcast and it is available on our website. In the meantime, if you have any questions about disability discrimination or dealing with mental health in the workplace, please contact Vivian Reeve and she would be delighted to help you. Thank you.